Hello, listeners. As you know, I sometimes put these supplementals at the beginning of the show. This one's going to be a little longer than normal, so if you'd please bear with me, that would be very much appreciated. So firstly, I want to apologise for what has become our atrocious release schedule. Events in my personal life have got in the way and given me less time to be able to do this, and so have my own personal demons to some extent. So thank you for your patience. Recently, I took part in the podcast zone at Dragon Meet. That was a very interesting, if not chaotic, experience. While I was there, I got to meet the casts of other podcasts, and some of those are the podcasts that I aspire to be. So, or should I say, Chimpians aspires to be. I also got to take part in an evening game that will be broadcast on the Wizards on the Wind. If you're not already listening to their show, you quite frankly should be. They are an excellent show. The game was run by Joe from How We Roll podcast, and it was a Cthulhu game, and which I really, really enjoyed because I've never played Cthulhu before. But I knew what to expect because I do listen to How We Roll as well. So, yeah, keep an eye on Wizards on the Wind. Listen to those episodes. There are a couple of other shows involved who I won't reveal here. You can give you some incentive to go and listen because those two shows also are excellent. One of the things Dragon Meat did do for me, though, was give me lots of ideas and lots of inspiration for improving our show. I'm not going to ask my players to change their style or anything. The show is basically our weekly game, and I don't want them to feel any pressure to change the game they enjoy playing. So in 2018, I plan to make some radical changes. The first thing I will do is ensure that there is a release every 2 weeks, even if to hit that deadline, some of the episode releases have to be a little short. There's a few other ideas I'm bandying around. Possibly a Twitch stream, which wouldn't involve the current players, because they've all indicated that really isn't the sort of thing they'd want to be doing. But we'll see on that one, because as much as I want to do it, it's another large amount of effort. But as much as I'm not going to ask my players to do anything, I am going to ask you, our listeners, to do something for us. Firstly, the most obvious and easy way you could help us is to support us on Patreon. Any funds that we receive will be spent on equipment, software, resources for the game, etc., etc. Our current Patreon supporters were able in a large way to help me get to Dragon Meat. I could use those funds to buy advertising material, help towards transport costs, that sort of thing. If you're not in a position to be able to help us financially or enjoy the show and just think, I'm using this medium because I don't have to pay for it, whatever, that is fair enough. I completely understand. We're releasing this content for free and then asking if you'd be kind enough to donate to us with no expectation that you will. But what you could do for us is follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, tell your friends, family, the bloke who's sitting next to you at work or at school. Anything that will up our listenership will help inspire us to greater effort. Because at the end of the day, as much as I do enjoy putting the show together, it's knowing that people are listening to it and enjoying it that is the real driver. If you would like to send us ideas or feedback on the show, you can contact us at chimpiansrpg@gmail.com. Any feedback is much appreciated. In fact, critical feedback is more useful to me than just praise for the show. Can't guarantee that I will take your ideas on board, but they help me understand what people do and don't want from the show, and that can only help us get better. So now you've put up with yet another apology from us. On with the show. Welcome to Chimpians. This actual play RPG podcast takes place in a setting based on the Secret World Chronicle novels. We use the Hero System 5th edition rules to follow the escapades of a team of metahumans working for the Echo organization. Starring Matt as Bullet,
Right, you fuckers, I'm going to work my way through each one of you.
Paul, the shockwave.
All right, lads, what's going off here? I'll go over and punch him in the face.
Scott, the Stratus.
Basically, your boss is a Class A asshole.
And me, your GM, Mark. Anyway, enough pre-waffle. On with the show. Welcome to the next episode of Chimpions.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Why am I saying bonjour?
So yeah, a quick recap, I guess. So yeah, last session, the sort of quick tin pot is you all got a bit of new kit from Vicky V, and she's got getting you to beta test effectively something she wants to sell to Tesla so she can not be active in the field. And she then sent you to this location, which name escapes me at the moment. Because Black Paladin has resurfaced and has grabbed Charity again, and you rushed over there to try and bail her out, I guess, or to apprehend him, or a bit of both. As you were travelling, she sort of gave you a lowdown of what the setup was. She was monitoring the whole area because you'd already filled it with CCTV, hadn't you, to keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
And she also informed you that she'd managed to get you some support. So if you were to pile straight in, they would be with you in a minute or so. And we literally left it where you were, I guess, waiting for them, maybe.
In the next road.
Yes, but Stratus had just started to sort of fly up to see the scene for himself rather than, you know, just this relayed description of what was going off. And that's where we left it. So before we sort of jump in this time, what I would like to do is, and you all need to record this, please don't lose it. I want you all to roll me what I think I'm going to call Destiny, which is more for me than you, but I need you to keep track of it. So I'll walk through you one at a time. So if you could go first, Bullet, if you can roll me 3d6. But these are exploding 3d6, so if you roll a 6, you roll that dice again and add it to the total. If you roll a 1, you
take
minus
that
from it.
Okay.
Yeah, roll again, minus from the total.
So, 3d6, yeah?
Please, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I got a 5, a 6, which
and
presumably explodes, and a 1.
Yeah, so we can do this either way, as it seems to make sense. You can either roll both of those and do the pluses and minuses, or you can say they counter each other out, because you've still got that. Could go either way for you, couldn't it, if you roll them all?
Oh, I see what you mean. Let's just say they cancel each other out.
So you're going to stick with the 12. So if you can just record that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will be Shockwave next, then, if you don't mind rolling me that.
5, 6, and a 2.
Cool, so that's 13, and roll the 6 again.
6.
Wow, so that's 19, roll the 6 again.
3.
So 22.
High carumba.
Yeah, I know, not bad at all.
And unless you want to get low.
I think low low is better.
Yeah.
No, it's not, it's high is better.
Thank you, Mark. I think Matt was just jealous there.
Finally Stratus.
12.
12 is the same as Bullet. Cool. Thank you. Just say this is more an 8 for me. So, you know, you don't really need to worry about whether it's...
We have to worry about everything, Mark, because we don't know what it is.
Well, I try to make you worry about things, but you just come back with these nonchalant, blasé texts back. Yeah, yeah, it'll be all right.
That's because we're like swans up above. We've got this calm air, but down below, there's shit going off below the surface.
Are we like swans? I thought we were.
Well, you're more like the ugly duckling.
Yeah. You're more like a mute swan.
I think Paul, given his high destiny, might be the ugly duckling, destined to become you know,
ugly.
Lord of the Swans.
He's more like Destiny's Child.
Does that make him a survivor?
I'm a survivor. Yeah.
I've got a question.
Shockwave, can you just roll me a mechanics?
Yes. No, failed it by one.
So you're still on this side of this main road, effectively. You know, it's even, it's dark. You know, it's dark. There's just the street lamps lighting it. Obviously, getting the glow of flames from the street across. The road's quiet, but in the background, you can hear the sounds of like a fairly guttural engine approaching. You hear this as well, Strauss and Bullet. But Shockwave, you can, you know, with your background, you can tell that it's not that gutturalness is because you can pick up the fact that it's that the engine, it's guttural because the engine's fucking you know, it's on its way. A sort of thing that, you know, an old van would sound like, or whatever, rather than a, you know, highly tuned big engine. And yeah, you can hear that, you know, it's obviously approaching. Stratus, you fly up. So yeah, as you fly up, you got the description before, so you know roughly what to expect. Yeah, the scene you see below you is quite intense. Obviously, there's street lighting down the street. It's residential, so it's fairly spaced out, but the whole street is bathed in sort of flashing blue and red lights from emergency vehicles. Then siren lights are strobing the area. And also intermingling with that is the light of numerous small fires that are going off, which give it quite a surreal sort of feel. You can see this, the road is blocked with emergency vehicles. There's probably the best way to do this would be to go down the road. At the top of the road are maybe half a dozen police cars in disarray. A couple you can see have collided, and you know, there's smoke and stuff puthering out from under the bonnets. Next to those is a house on the, you can see the roof is on fire, but in amongst the heat haze from it, you can see a figure hovering within it, large ragged wings on a quite emaciated form. Can you just roll me a perception as well, Strauss, because there's some stuff mm-hmm. that you might not pick up on here. Its arms look too long for its body, and so does its head looks too large for its body. But yeah, you're sort of behind it by maybe, what, 20 metres or so. You see it, like, stretches out a hand, a jet of flame flies across the road and starts bathing the roof of the house opposite.
Nice.
That house is already starting to burn. Yeah. It seems to be just topping up, trying to set fire to the
so
house.
So that's the one here with the two flames on, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I made my perception by one.
All right, okay, cool. So slightly further down, almost outside the house, it's burning, is a fire truck. That seems to have skewed down the road and hit a tree. And you can see, again, that has got flames and smoke puthering out from under its bonnet. Up against that tree, you can see there's a fireman stood about 2-3 feet away from it. And there's another fireman sort of braced up against it, you know, sat down with his back against it. Looks like he's unconscious.
Is that there?
Yeah, the one who's stood up is swinging an axe wildly, trying to hold Griffin at bay. Right. Griffin's yep. lunging in, and roughly opposite that, between two houses, you can see and hear the screams of children that have been sort of, they've been caught in almost like a cul-de-sac between the two houses and a large fence that's between the houses. And in front of them, pacing around and snapping at them, three what have initially appeared to be really large dogs. But as you, you know, as you take stock, you can see that they're, again, they're much like this creature over the house. They don't look quite right. Their heads are too big. And you see over there, the fur occasionally bursts into like welts of flame. Continuing to travel down the road on your side, you see Black Paladin sat on this huge black horse. lance in one hand, shield in the other, with Charity cowering at sort of the hooves of the horse. And you see he's also sat next to, you know, front of her are two more of these hounds. And you see that his shield is glowing with this, well, glowing is the wrong word, he's giving off this dark radiance, much like his mace did. It almost seems to have tendrils coming out, like tentacles flailing into the air. And then across from him is an ambulance on its side, on the what is now the top, because it's on its side, is just covered in ravens. And stood next to it is Lady Crow. And you can she's attacking what looks like a paramedic. And you can see sprawled around this upturned ambulance is the body of another paramedic. It looks like the body of maybe a couple of bodies of a couple of police officers. And then slightly further down the street, another couple of police cars, but they seem to have been, you know, purposely, you know, pulled up. And that's what you see.
So we're off the map in, to the southeast, aren't we? In the next road, northeast.
You're up where your tokens are. You're sort of to the right of there.
Right. Okay. Right. So I'll relay everything I see back to the team. Now, I suppose one thing we could do is get Bastion to secure the children by putting the children in a force field. Then at least they're out of harm's way.
Yeah, Vicky's voice got. I can secure the children.
Excellent. How?
And as the as Bullet and Shockwave are stood at the side of the road, you start to see headlights, you know, coming down the road now.
It's a Scooby-Doo van.
She says, I could cause a barrier.
Excellent.
The property owners may not be happy afterwards, but I can do it.
If need be, I'll recompense them. As long as those children are out of the way and unseen.
You know this is a trap. They are toying at the moment. Absolutely. As you would be able to see that, you know, you've seen Griffin in action.
Yeah, and he could rip those people apart.
This fireman stood swinging this fire axe, and then Griffin just keeps like darting in, making useless swipes at him, not getting hit himself, obviously. And the same with Lady Crow. She's just toying with this paramedic, cutting him occasionally. And like the hound, those hounds are pacing around at the front of the children. And you see there's a little girl, maybe only about 7 or 8, wildly swinging a baseball bat at them. And they're just like darting and snarling and snapping, but they're not
doing any damage.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. As long as it stays like that, we'll wait here for the cavalry to arrive.
Yeah, as you're sort of thinking this, yeah, coming round the corner, if you see the headlights of a van, Shockwave, you're the car fanatic, aren't you? You notice as it comes around the corner that the headlamps are obviously mismatching. You know, one's quite bright and the other one's sort of got that yellowing sort of light as it's starting to, you know, the bulbs are starting to go. Now it's closer, you can hear like the whine of the fan belt as it, and as it comes to pull up, you see it's like a white transit van. Yeah, there's stains of rust around the wheel arches, and the vague outline of, you know, some logo down the side where it's been peeled off, but the paints are different, you know, haven't faded underneath it. And as it rattles to a stop, yeah, some people get out.
As long as they're not hippies, we'll be all right.
And
yeah, you also notice that it looks like the back suspension is shot to shit. It looks like it's probably only just not rubbing on the wheel arch by millimetres. And you're getting out of it three people. Out the passenger side is a woman. She's dressed in like some sort of red armoured suit. I mean, almost like, you know, the army you'd have in a biker's jacket. it's shocking red, and it's like a jumpsuit. And on the chest is a large gold star, because she's quite tall for a woman. She must be, you know, just over 6 feet tall. Long, dark, raven hair, angular features, almost wolfish. Sliding out after her, in contrast, a really short woman. You reckon she's 5 foot, maybe? Quite delicate features, obviously of Oriental descent. And her dress matches that. You see, she's wearing like a kimono, shocking red tights underneath it, and tucked into like the belt of the kimono is some sort of sword. And then getting out the driver's side, in contrast to these quite flamboyant-looking characters, is a man. He's relatively short for a man. He's maybe 5'6", 5'7". Solidly built, not huge, but you know, and he's just wearing black combat trousers, some sort of black top with a black flak jacket over the top, guns strapped to one hip, and on the flak jacket, it looks like probably sprayed on with some sort of stencil, is again a large gold star. And as they all get out, the Oriental woman and the man stay by the van, and the woman comes over to you. She says, I am Commissar Red Savior of the CCCP. Which one of you is Stratus?
I point up.
Get him down here!
Stratus.
Hello.
Best come in for a landing.
Okay. Do superhero landing.
Hey. Yeah, you see these three. And so this woman's features are quite, you know, they're quite harsh, if you like. And, yeah. You know, they're obviously the annoyance makes her look even more harsh. And she says, our daughter of Rasputin sent us to support you. Well, she briefed us. Well, what do you want us to do?
Well, the sit rep is this, and I'll explain what's going off in the next street.
Yeah, I said she's already told us.
At the moment, they are not causing any damage to anything but property. They are definitely trying to lure us in.
Ah. And as I say, we help you, Echo Boys. But what do you want us to do?
Well, there are innocent people in there. We want to rescue them and put these criminals behind bars. That's what I want to do.
Okay, we go. Points at Bullet, Shockwave, and Bastion. Who are these?
We are all part of a team Rolling Thunder. These are my companions. This is Shockwave, Bastion, and Bullet.
Ah, this is she points at the, you know, the Oriental woman. He says, Feli, and points at the man and goes, Untermensch.
Untermensch.
Get in the van. We go, yes? She says, looking at you quizzically.
Well, perhaps we should do a two-pronged attack, and you could maybe cause a diversion while we attack from a different side, rather than all turning up in a van.
Of course, well, we go down the road.
Okay. Come from the south. That seems as though
it's
more...
can't come from the south. It's it's like a crescent.
Oh, yeah, I can see. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Well, perhaps we can come from the south, then.
Yeah.
And yeah, Shockwave would be painfully apparent to you that you know, there's no way this vehicle is going anywhere off-road.
Right.
Right. So they're going to come in from the north, causing a distraction. The children are taken care of. They're going to be safe.
What children?
Yeah. We've got... Don't worry about them. You won't even be able to see them. They're out of harm's way. Vicky's sorted that.
Fantastic.
We've got the demon... We've got Griffin, we've got Crowbag, we've got Schwarzer Ritter.
I think we should all go straight for Ritter.
Okay.
That's that that shield he's got has got tendrils coming off it, which may be leading to the Hellhounds or whatever they are.
Yeah, he is the kingpin in all of this.
We just need to knock him out.
So, yes, definitely concerted effort. Rolling thunder him. Let's get him.
But he's got her sat on the horse in front of her.
She's on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not got her on the horse in front of his pommel. She's still sort of cowering at the its front.
All right.
Fetlocks, is that the right word?
So you want to go for the Black Paladin.
Straight for the Black Paladin. Yeah. And obviously you have the upper hand here, Bullet, as you can be on him in an instant.
I can't see him at the moment, so I'm going to leap up to the roof and then onto him.
Okay.
I can't do my shockwave because she's there and there's too much around him.
Well, perhaps I can try and bring her out and then you can shockwave onto him.
Do you think, Bullet, you could get in, get her out, and then we shockwave, etc. in? Because you act so quick, you could be probably in by the time we do anything.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that he's fast and he might... What I'll try and do is I'll try and get her into... I'll try and get her into an alley, you know, between the space between the houses.
Don't go there.
And then... Well...
Bring them into the road over here.
Okay.
If you can get
that far. I don't know
if I've got
the range, actually.
And there's a demon on the roof there.
Oh, what, this? I thought it was... Oh, yes, I see.
Yeah.
Right.
You definitely don't want to go there where that barrier is going up.
Is that... oh, okay. Right, my apologies.
I think you should go...
Those are the dogs, right.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Let me not just far, zoom but... in a little bit.
How many hexes can you actually teleport?
With... Sorry, let me have a look.
Scrotz, can you just draw me a computer?
I can. Made it by 4. Oh, sorry, 3.
3.
Yeah, I was looking at the points. Spent.
Yeah, your HUD flickers.
Right, okay.
You get the scene of that road from one of the security cameras appear in the corner of your HUD.
Yeah. Excellent. I like this.
1, 2, 3.
Do we all get that?
No, because he's the only one with that little setup, isn't he?
With my Echo Jack.
Oh.
Okay. I can
I
get
hope
a...
that helps.
Thank you. That is wonderful.
You need to improve your security.
I couldn't improve it against you now, could I, Vicky?
Well.
Right,
maybe
let's
we can work on that.
So are we waiting for them to drive round or are we going to jump in?
They're obviously following your guidance. You can see that Red Savior is obviously getting very agitated.
Yeah.
Okay. How far can you jump, Shockwave? Where do you need to get to before you can leap in?
For purposes of measurement, I'm going to say that although it's not quite accurate, you are where your tokens are.
Okay. Right. So I can go 20 inch.
Remember, if you move your full movement, you don't get to attack.
Yeah.
Slight difference for shockwave. If he does a shockwave, he can move his full movement.
Yeah, but I need to jump to that roof because I can't see him.
Okay.
So you could get there. Yeah, so if you was on this roof here, you could shockwave him.
Which roof?
Yeah.
Remember, he's got Charity sat at his heel.
Yeah.
I know, but what we're trying to do is get her out of it, and as soon as Bullet appears, he starts leaping.
Okay, this is my proposal, because you guys, you CCCP guys, very glad to have you here. You wanna get down there, I can tell. I am going to use... non-combat teleport down here. I can bring Charity to me, which I will do as soon as you guys come into view and hopefully distract them. And then I will bring Charity to me. I will radio and just say, I've got her, hopefully, and then you shockwave in, and we unleash a can of whoop-ass.
Yeah. As soon as they cause the distraction, that'll be our cue.
Okay, so if you could just locate yourself where you're going to be before things go off, just to make life easier. Obviously, if you're going somewhere where you're going to be obvious, then it starts then. Just say, put yourself where you're in position before the combat starts.
Yeah, so I'm hopefully going to get somewhere like that out of sight. Trying to keep out of sight of that demon thing.
I can get to there now.
I have an eye in the sky, so I'll tell you how they're progressing.
So you all get into position and you hear, you know, rather rattly van, the CCCP, and then see its headlights coming down the thing, down the road. And as it's, as it screeches to a halt by the police cars, and I presume that will be your cue. So, if you remember, the way this works is when combat first starts, you start in segment 12 so that everyone gets to act. So as they screech to a halt and the doors fly open, it is Bullet.
Okay. I am going to attempt to teleport on Charity.
So you're going to try and do a grab bite, get her out there like you did before?
Well, I'm just going to try and teleport her directly to me using my...
Right, okay.
So I've got a range modifier on that, but here goes. Hit DCV 9.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Not a problem at all.
Okay, so I can teleport her to where I am, which is just around this sort of house corner.
I'm presuming you're putting her out of view there, yeah?
You move her to you, and then you spin round with her in your arms, don't you? Because you can't occupy the same
space. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. I've got her. I've got her, go.
Get out of here, Charity.
Yeah, Black Paladin just goes,
stop playing, kill them now.
You see his helmeted head turn towards you, Bullet.
Because he's not surprised. Just expecting that.
No, he's not surprised at all.
I think he's got
something. He has an ability that allows him to detect people.
Fair enough.
He does that, looks around. You can't. What I'm going to do is I'll explain what's going off, but obviously some of this you won't see. Because it's going to be such a busy combat. How I'm going to play this is, if you want to see something that's going off that's not in the actual melee that you're directly in, you'll have to roll a perception and you'll get a minus to that, because I can see you all getting quite spread out in this.
Okay.
Griffin guts the fireman.
No!
Red Savior leaps out of the van. You see blue energy blast out of her feet. You see her just rocket down the road. You see her hands light up in blue energy as well. And she just slams, or tries to slam, straight into Griffin. she slams into Griffin.
Yay!
And slams Griffin into the fire truck. You see it like...
Yes!
As he slams into it. You see Fei Li leaps out, this little Japanese woman. You see she pulls, this sort of oriental blade. It's a single-bladed, quite an old, archaic single-bladed. She leaps out the van and sort of... She doesn't fly. She runs between the police cars, takes a leap, hits one of the trees, springs off of it, springs up to the roof of the house, and runs up towards this demonic figure that's
very crouching tiger. Excellent.
With a sort of grace and beauty of, almost like she's dancing.
That's how I envision my character.
Really? But with a snowball in hand.
Yeah. Throw it in their face. Take that.
I'm allergic to egg.
Nog.
Hunter Mensch isn't that fast. You see, he starts weaving his way through the police cars. See, he's got some sort of assault rifle that he must have picked up, you know, from the van. Drops down behind one of the police cars, rifle over the bonnet, and fires at one of these hounds. Picks the one at the back, obviously, because he doesn't want to hit the children by accident. As the bullets strike into the hound, you see flares of flame come out where they strike.
Ooh.
And although it knocks the hound's back end out from under it, skids sideways and then just stands straight back up. And then it's Bastion.
She is going to try to put a dome around the ambulance to contain the crows.
Yeah, roll to hit.
I'm just wondering, she can do six long by two tall. I don't know how the dome works actually. Alterable size. I mean, she's done it before, hasn't she?
Basically, the way it works is if you can surround it, you can make it into a dome.
Oh right, okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So yeah, she could put a dome. It would actually intersect Lady Crow. So would there be a chance of her being within it, or is that?
Yeah, I would say so. Yes.
Okay. So she needs to make a to hit at that range, presumably.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a DCB3.
That's going to be next. That's going to be -4.
She might also put the fireman in it as well.
Oh, is that a fireman there?
The paramedic.
Well, if that happens, I'll get the paramedic out. Hopefully. okay. I don't know. I don't think she's going to make it anyway. But let's have a go. 3d6. Oh no, sorry.
CV, her OCV.
She's going to hit DCV5.
So yeah, she puts it up.
Fantastic.
Just roll me 3d6. If you roll under 6 for either of them, they're outside.
Okay, so the paramedic first.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So he's
paramedic's
inside.
No, they're both inside.
And I'll let you keep tabs on the barriers. So yeah, boom. Raises this sort of blue energy barrier around them. Unfortunately, catching the paramedic in there as well. Stratus.
Okay, so I am going to fly there and start.
So you're flying over that house?
Yeah, so I'm above the house.
Above Black Paladin, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yes, I am going to unleash some adverse weather on Black Paladin. So, suppress. DCV 10.
Yeah, you hit.
Okay. A personal, bad weather storm starts battering him. Doesn't do anything to him yet.
So, yeah, I take it. Crystals start forming on him, though.
Yeah.
Not enough to slow him down.
No,
but
like I say, he's being battered.
Is that an area of effect?
No, it's just personal.
Oh, right, okay, so it doesn't affect his horse, no?
No.
But he sat on his horse.
Yeah, I know, but it's swirling around him. It's just affecting him. It's just the way it looks. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's getting buffeted in the eyes and around his head and his body, but it's only affecting him.
Anyone who's on the ground feels like a tremor as between those two houses and between the hounds and the children, the earth starts to buckle and bow, and then it explodes upwards and forms a huge great barrier blocking off the entrance between the two houses, separating the children from the dogs.
Wow. What children?
they're midgets.
And yeah, the dogs try leaping up it, but she's been clever enough to form it so it bows outwards rather than inwards, and they can't get purchase on it properly.
Nice one, Vicky.
Two hounds by Black Paladin. He just gestures and they just shoot off. run down the road, come tearing around the corner of the house, Bullet, where you and Charity and Bastion are.
Okay.
But don't get to attack. Shockwave.
Were we going to Rolling Thunder or?
Well, this is all 12 and.
Yeah, we'd have to wait.
Yeah. So no, I'm just going to leap in then.
God, how far can you leap?
20.
So where are you leaping into?
Gonna leap on him.
So you're leaping into Black Paladin.
Yeah.
Okay, roll me your to hit. So yeah, it needs to hit DCV3 plus the range modifier, whatever that is, for 20 hexes.
It is -6.
So you have to hit DCV9.
Is it actually 20 hexes you're going? It isn't, is it? Because you were sort of over here, weren't you?
Oh, right, yeah. No, I was just there.
Call it 14.
Yeah, that's not so bad. -4.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you have to hit DCV7.
Yeah, -4, yeah. 17 or above -6.
Cool.
Yay!
Hey! So here you go.
Yes!
Ooh! Yeah, roll me your shockwave damage.
That is. So 5 body and 17.
5 body, 17 stun.
Yeah.
Just roll me knockback, because although your energy wave doesn't really do them either of them any damage.
Yeah.
You might still knock them back.
It is a shockback. So that is. What do I roll for the knockback? -2.
No.
So yeah, you don't knock them back. But yeah, you land next to Black Paladin and you realise the size of this bloody horse is on is huge.
Give it a sugar lump.
Oh, you're not enlarged at the moment, are you?
No.
Then the doors of the van get slammed open. Climbing out the back, what can be best described as a creature. It's really short. It's only maybe just under 5 foot tall. It's also about 5 foot wide. Its skin just appears to be a solid rock as it leaps out the back of the van. The van suspension springs back up.
We've seen the mountain. This is the molehill.
Sees the dogs, grabs a police car, picks the whole thing up over his head and hurls it at the three hounds that are on the other side of this
of the wall.
Throws the whole police car and it lands slap bang on top of one of these hounds. And as it hits the hound, again flames like sort of lick up off the hound, bathing from the side of the police car.
And then the hound gets up.
Well, it's under the car at the moment, so yeah, it hasn't taken it out, but it is slightly pinned. And that's where we'll leave it for this week. Bye. Thank you for listening to Chimpions. If you've listened to earlier episodes, you'll realise this is a labour of love on our part. So, if you enjoy what we're doing and would like to help support the show, please go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave us a review. We'd also love to hear what listeners think we could do to improve the show's content and format. You can find us on Twitter at ChimpionsRPG. Email me at mark@chimpions.co.uk. Through the contact section of the website at chimpions.co.uk. Dark to care, and can the struggle is in there? Deliver me into my fate. If I'm alone, I cannot hate. I don't deserve to have you. My smile's taken long. If I could change your hope, I never knew.